impregnated childbirth causes damage that leads to constant bowel or bladder leakage. They become very quickly outcasts and outsiders, exiles in their own mud huts, even their husbands and families leaving them. And the constant physical pain they feel wouldn't even come close to comparing to the shame they feel and the hurt of being cut off from everyone they know. Well, I wonder whether, and my guess is actually, that all of us here know what it's like to be an outsider in some way. All of us here, I would imagine, know what it's like to be left on the outside looking in, what it's like to be excluded. Maybe for you it was as simple as back in school, being bullied or excluded from activities or play. Maybe you've been ostracized in the workplace, maybe in your family. Maybe you've known what it's like to be treated differently and rejected on the basis of your race, your religion, maybe your sex, maybe a medical condition, the family you've been born into, maybe because of your physical appearance or any number of reasons. My guess is that we all know what it's like to be excluded, to be on the outside. Well, today's story is the story of a person who was an outsider. Someone who was excluded, not just from something they deeply desired, but from what they desperately needed. Excluded from being able to join in God's people. So my prayer this morning is that we will come to see two things. Firstly, that we'll come to see just how far we were cut off from God and his people. And secondly, that we'll see just how wonderful and powerful is the message of the risen Jesus, that we who are outsiders, we who are outcasts, are brought in as sons and daughters. So let's pray and get stuck into that passage. Heavenly Father, we pray this morning that you would reveal to us just how far cut off, how far outside we were from your blessing, and to see how wonderful is the message of the risen Jesus, that we who are outsiders and outcasts can be brought in to relationship with you, brought into your blessing, brought in to your people. Amen. Well, the beginning of Acts picks up after Jesus' resurrection. It starts with Jesus giving his final instructions to his disciples before being lifted up into heaven. And at that point, in chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus makes it very clear that his death, resurrection, and lordship is a message for all people. Jesus promised his disciples in Acts 1:8 to send them his Holy Spirit and told them that they would be his witnesses, they would share that message in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the world. Well, last year, when we looked at the first section of Acts, we saw how the church in Jerusalem grew and grew and grew as the message of Jesus went out. Stage one, witnesses in Jerusalem, complete. We even saw that the more the church was persecuted, the more the church grew. Last week, we saw Philip murdered. And as when he was murdered, the church was scattered outside of Jerusalem and the message spread into Judea. Stage two, complete. And as we flick back and we look at chapter 8, verse 4, as they go through Judea, they preach the word wherever they went, stage 2. And verse 5, Philip went down to a city in Samaria, stage 3. And so now there's only one more place for it to go, to the ends of the earth. One more phase of the mission to get started. And we see that phase begin today, in the conversion of one man, the story of one outsider from the ends of the earth. Indeed, in this man today, we see a symbol that the gospel is a message for all people. So it is that Philip is sent by the Holy Spirit down to a road in the middle of nowhere. The angel of the Lord said to Philip, go south to the road, the desert road, that goes from Jerusalem to Gaza. You can see that. You can kind of just see the G for Gaza on the bottom left side of Judea. So he's out on the middle of nowhere, and while he's there, the Spirit points him to a chariot and says, go to that chariot and stay near it, verse 29. And he meets a man travelling from Jerusalem to Ethiopia. Now, Ethiopia is in modern-day Sudan, and he's gone to Jerusalem to worship the one true God. Now, just to get a bit of perspective here, that is a 3,000-kilometre-plus trip one way. That's like going to Alice Springs and back on a chariot in the Middle Eastern heat, in the Middle Eastern freezing nights, past bandits and enemy nations, to worship God. But do you know what? After all this effort, after coming all this way to worship God, this man was excluded from God's people. He was excluded from even going into the temple. You know, he couldn't even go into the temple. He couldn't even go into the temple grounds inside the gate. And we learn why. Verse 27. He met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. Now, if you don't know what a eunuch is, don't go home and Google it. It's someone who's been castrated, someone who's had their ability to reproduce removed. Now, why would this exclude him? Why would this make him an outsider? Well, because in the law, in Deuteronomy 23, God explicitly says that no one who has been emasculated by crushing or cutting may enter the assembly of the Lord. This man has travelled a 6,000-kilometre round trip to not even go inside the temple grounds to worship God. He is the outsider of outsiders. The poor fellow is cut off from God's people because he's been cut off at the crown jewels. But it was to this road, to this chariot, to this outsider of outsiders, that the Holy Spirit has sent Peter with the message for all people. Now, I don't know if you're sort of thinking to yourself at this stage, I'm glad I'm not a eunuch. I'm sure you would have thought that anyway, regardless of whether or not Deuteronomy 23 was there. But in this man, we see that this truly is a message for all people. For even the most cut-off person can be met with the message of Jesus. Now, this is good news for us. You may not be a eunuch, and I hope you're not, but it wasn't just eunuchs who were excluded. If we read on to the very next verse of Deuteronomy 23, we'd read this. No one of illegitimate birth, nor any of his descendants, may enter the assembly of the Lord, even down to the 10th generation. Now, this is what 10 generations looks like, except there's not enough room on the page, so you've got to times that circled section by 16. That's 510 direct ancestors that must all be of legitimate birth. Now, I think without looking at the rest of Deuteronomy 23 and the other exclusions, I think that would count for every one of us in this room. I think that every one of us in this room, in our 510 ancestors, in a direct line, would be somewhere excluded through illegitimate birth. See, the good news for this eunuch is good news for us. For the message for the eunuch is a message for outsiders just like you and me. Well, this fella, I just want to stop and think for just a second about his commitment. He must have gone to incredible expense for this trip. He was an incredibly important official in charge of the treasury of the Queen of Ethiopia. I'm sure she wouldn't have wanted him gone very long, and he had to do a bit of arm pulling and leg twisting to get out of that one. But this man went to extraordinary lengths because he wanted to know the one true God. Because he wanted to be part of God's blessing and God's people. Now, there are still people like that today. There are still today people who, like him, actively seek out God in order to receive his blessing, in order to know him and have relationship with him, and in order to become one of his people. I've actually had people come to me. I had someone just a fortnight ago come to me and say, I would like to be a Christian, but I don't really know anything about it. I've noticed actually that I've had a few people in recent years come and say this to me who have been immigrants, who have travelled into Australia, who have moved to Australia and decide they want to come and figure out what the Christian faith is all about. That's why ministries like the ESL ministry we're starting up are so important, because still today there are people who are seeking Jesus. In fact, there are people in this room who have either wandered into a church or just pulled out a Bible out of wanting to know the one true God. Well, God is drawing people to himself. This is the message for all people. But in case you thought that meant we don't have to do anything, well, you can think again, because this man needed help. This man needed help, for this is the message that needs explanation. Verse 30. Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. Do you understand what you are reading? Philip asked. How can I? He said, unless someone explains it to me. So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. The eunuch was reading this passage of scripture. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before the shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth. The eunuch asked Philip, tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else? Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. See, though this man could read, though he read the scriptures, he needed someone to explain it to him. Now, I could say to you right now, well, in my garage next door, there's a welder. There's some electrodes. I'll tell you where they are. I'll tell you where the scrap metal is. Go for it. Go and weld me up a statue. Now, you could mosey on into my garage. You could find the welder. You could find the bits and pieces. You could probably figure out that you put the plug in the wall. You could probably figure out where the on switch was. And if you'd never welded before, you'd probably slowly kind of figure something out. But I don't imagine your welds would be too strong or your sculpture would be too pretty. But welding's actually not all that hard if I was just to take you and explain to you how it works and to show you how to do it. Well, the gospel is like that, because the gospel is not all that hard to understand. The message is actually a simple message, so simple that a child can grasp it, that someone with dementia or with a mental disability can grasp it. Indeed, it is a simple message, but the simple message comes in a very complex book. We need someone to show us the ropes. How can I understand it unless someone explains, he says. We need a guide to point out the landmarks, to go, look, this person here, the one who was sold, who was humiliated, and whose life was taken from the earth, well, this person is Jesus. Let me tell you about him. Just on Friday, Hosty and I, one of the youth group leaders on a Friday night, were teaching some of the junior boys, and we came to understand very quickly that the boys didn't know anything about Christ. Well, some of the boys. And when we tried to explain that the Christ has come to save us from sin, we came to realize they didn't understand what sin was. And so to explain what sin was, we had to explain actually that God has created us to love him and obey him. And sin is when we reject him. People need us to explain the simple message to them. Well, friends, how can people understand if no one explains it to them? Well, I think the sad reality is that many seekers, many people who want to know about Jesus, are never actually asked if they understand, never actually invited to get the opportunity to have someone explain it to them. Well, for some people, their experience of Christians and their experience of the church is like when you walk into a shop and the shopkeeper doesn't want to help you, so you turn around and you walk out to another shop. Friends, people come to us, people come to this very church, and we need to take the time and the effort to offer to explain to them the simple message. Well, friends, if we believe that Jesus is Lord and we want to see him honoured and worshipped and adored and glorified, how can we not have a desire to reach those people who are seeking? We need to pray that God will change us and use us for his glory. Well, what is that simple message and what is its effect? Well, this simple message brings incredible joy. Well, what Philip explained to this eunuch who was cut off from God's people is the message that Jesus, God himself, was cut off from God's people. See, he says Jesus is this one. He was cut off so that people who are cut off can come in. Jesus was humiliated so that people who are humiliated can be crowned with glory and honour. Jesus had no descendants so that those like you who have no descendants, Ethiopian eunuch, can come and be a descendant of the living God. Jesus received God's wrath so that we who are under God's wrath could go free. Well, how did our friend respond? Verse 36, as they travelled along the road, they came to some water and the eunuch said, "Look, here's water. Why shouldn't I be baptized?" And he gave orders, "Stop the chariot." And both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away and the eunuch did not see him again. But he went on his way rejoicing. Do you remember that joy? Can you think back now? Just if you have to close your eyes, close your eyes. Remember when you first heard and received the message that Jesus was cut off so you can be brought in. That Jesus became an outsider so that you who were an outsider can be one of God's sons. Do you remember how it felt? Do you remember the joy? I remember when I first came to grasp God's grace, I cried tears of joy for what must have been about an hour. All I could think was, "I love you, I love you. Thank you for loving me." There is incredible joy in this message, isn't there, friends? Well, I mentioned right at the beginning those poor Ethiopian women with fistula. You may know, but a Christian couple from Sydney travelled to Ethiopia over 50 years ago and to help these women. They established a hospital in Addis Ababa to care for women with fistula. When she was interviewed, Catherine Hamlin, who was one of this couple, was asked about the reaction when a woman is cured. This is what she said. "Yes, it's wonderful. This is why it's so wonderful to be a fistula surgeon. The joy that they display once they're cured is all in the world we need. Anyone looking after a fistula girl's cure joins in this joy as they go home to a new life. Friends, that joy for those women and that joy that the Hamlins share in being part of their cure and their new life is ultimately eclipsed a hundredfold by the joy of those who come to Christ. It's ultimately eclipsed by the joy of being able to explain to someone who then becomes a child of God inside God's kingdom, never to be cast off. Friends, we have a wonderful message. It needs explanation. Let us pray that God would give us hearts and opportunities to do that. And let us do everything we can to share that joy with others. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this amazing message. This message that we have heard and that we have received with joy. Father, we pray that that first joy would wash over us afresh today and every day. We pray that every day we would be reminded just how far outside of your blessing we were because of our sin. And that every day we would be reminded of the incredible power of this message, that your own Son was cut off so that we could be grafted in. And we pray, Father, that you would give us opportunities to explain the gospel to those who are seeking. That you would give us opportunities and the words to explain the simple message, and that we might be able to share in the joy of those who have the joy of being brought into your kingdom. Amen.